quantum computing would be a potential threat for cryptocurrencies if they still based on these classical encryption schemes, which are vulnerable against fault-tolerant quantum computers.
Welcome to the first episode of The Beginning of Infinity. It is an AI quantum podcast. I strongly believe in a statement that you are an average of five people around you. Therefore, I started to meet different founders, tech experts, and gained a lot from it. So what I thought was, why not record it and put it online so that even you all can gain a lot from it. Therefore, I present to you our first episode of... So today, as our first speaker, we have Mohammad Yaseen Farjani. He's a quantum researcher at QB, and he's also a founder and coordinator at QTunisia, which is affiliated with QWorld. It's a community that works towards implementing quantum technologies, performing research around quantum, and bringing a lot of awareness around quantum. Isn't that cool? But what is more cool is the talk we had. We talked about how quantum impacts cryptocurrencies, how they can break the current security, how the quantum internet actually works. Therefore, not taking much time, I am your host, Shubham Agnihotri, and you're listening to The Beginning of Infinity.
So I was just scrolling your profile, right? And I see that you have done a huge amount of works in quantum. Like you have recently won the Qiskit challenge and the Q crack, right?
I guess it's 1 year ago or 2 years ago. It's Qiskit the global hackathon, or actually we won many challenges. Which one of them?
So it's like, you know, I've been a lot of challenges, but I don't exactly remember which one you're talking about.
So there is Qiskit the global hackathon. It was organized online at that time. It was COVID. And we got the first place, me and my team. So basically, we developed the platform for sharing, making quantum experiments reproducible and shareable for developers and for researchers. And another hackathon is organized by Stanford and Yale called the Quantum Coalition Hackathon. And in that, also we got the first place, and we developed a quantum steganography protocol. It's kind of cryptographic scheme using Qiskit. Yeah, and there are a couple of other hackathons. But those are
your favorite ones, or the highlight?
Favorite ones. Yeah.
That's interesting. So, how did you end up in quantum? It's like because this is a field right now. It is what I believe is quantum is still at a very naive stage, where there is not a proper fully functional quantum computer that can run for, let's say even like, you know, because I'm totally new to quantum, like I am exploring it. So maybe the question that I asked may be very naive to you. So just, bear with me on that. So so how did you, what was your inspiration and how did you get into quantum? And can you tell us a brief about your background?
Yeah, so I studied in my first year at university, I studied mathematics and physics, and then telecommunications engineering, specialized in network security, because I studied in Tunisia, and it's a 5 years program. So at my second year at university, I studied quantum mechanics, and I became fascinated by the world of small particles. At the same time, I like computer science and mathematics. 1 year later, I heard about quantum computing, and I say, oh, wow, this is a combination between computer science and quantum physics. And also, it acquires a good background in mathematics. So I said, this would be my field. So, and since that time, quantum computing became my intellectual passion, let's say.
Wow, crazy. And so you coming from a research background, right? Right now you're working on, if I talk about your current profile, you're working as a researcher.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the power of quantum? Like, you know, it is still yet to be harnessed, once we are at that stage. So what do you think it'll be?
So quantum in general can give us, is powerful in security. So, and the only advantage that we have nowadays from quantum, I mean, in real world, is security. Like, we can achieve a higher level of security, which cannot be achieved classically. And in quantum computing, it can offer us more computational power. Yeah, so because in quantum computing, we are harnessing the properties of quantum mechanics. And yeah, that can give us a huge amount of speed up. So,
and so you were talking about steganography in your hackathon that you did. You know, there was a steganography algorithm that you kind of, you know, made as a product. So for the listeners, can you tell us what steganography is exactly?
Yeah. So, I will start by defining cryptography. So, the sure. purpose of cryptography is to hide our data. Or, for example, let's say you would like to send a message to your friend, and you'd like to hide this message from any unauthorized, malicious third party. So, in cryptography, let's say we apply some mathematical function and functions, and we transform this plain text data, your message called plain text, to ciphertext. Ciphertext, which is the modified data or the unreadable data, which is protected. And steganography, we upload our data and we hide it inside an image or. Yeah, so instead of text, we can put our data inside an image and hide. So this is the difference between steganography and cryptography. Or maybe a sound or music or something, sound file or something like that. So we are not hiding data in, we can hide data in images, sounds, and many things, not only in text. And this is steganography is about that, yeah.
So, so basically, let's say there's an image full of pixels. So in those pixels, you hide something onto the on it, or let's say is it something that you know you add it onto the meta site or something like because as far as I know what steganography is, because a brief about me, like I was a CEH certified hacker.
Yeah,
and so like pretty much it's like you know you have the file size pretty much remains the same. So you add it onto the backend, and so how does that process actually works? Like if we get a bit more onto the technical side, like, you know, let's say if I want to create a steganographic file. So will it be like, you know, is it in the meta that it gets added or how is it? Hmm.
It's like you embed your message or inside this image and you encrypt it. And then you send this image file so that an attacker cannot even notice that you are hiding your data inside this image. So, for example, if you send the normal message, the hacker knows that this ciphertext contains secret data. But if you send a normal image, the hacker cannot even notice that there is a hidden message inside this image. So, yeah.
Good. So, you know, one as because right now we are in an era where, you know, there's a lot of talk about quantum and IBM, like recently there was a war for quantum supremacy.
Yeah.
And then there were talks around that, you know, once quantum is there and being, you know, all the cryptography or security, which is currently existing, goes on a toss. How is that possible? Like, you know, right now, I guess it was said, I guess, for SHA-256 or 512 or something like that, it takes around 10,000 years for a supercomputer to crack it, right?
Okay, so most of today's internet is secured using public key crypto systems, algorithms like RSA, Elliptic Curve, and we have a quantum algorithm which is called Shor's algorithm, invented by Peter Shor in 1994, and this algorithm can crack, can factor large numbers on a quantum computer. So let's give a simple example of RSA. If in RSA we have a public encryption key, and if you manage to factor this public encryption key into two prime factors, so RSA will be broken. And with Shor's algorithm, it's useful for factoring and also for discrete logarithm. And with Shor's algorithm, we can break elliptic curve and RSA. But the problem that the current quantum computers are not able to crack public key crypto systems because we are in the NISC area, noisy intermediate scale quantum computers. And maybe and to crack public key crypto systems, we need fault tolerant quantum computers with thousands of qubits. I hope that we can build these quantum computers after maybe 10 or 15 years. I don't know exactly, But yeah, like we cannot break RSA right now, but in the future with large scale quantum computers, it would be possible. Yeah.
Got it. So you said fault tolerance quantum system. So what exactly are those? Like, what do you mean by fault tolerance?
Like, I will explain something. Today's quantum computers are in the NISQ area. Like, the most powerful quantum computers is IBM's one with 127 qubits, but these qubits are not perfect. So if you run a computation, you will not get concrete results because we have too many errors. But with fault-tolerant quantum computers, our error-corrected qubits, we don't have too many errors. We can run computation properly on a quantum computer, and this quantum computer will have thousands of qubits, so it will be useful maybe for real world, and we can, let's say, implement our algorithms on fault-tolerant quantum computers. So there are quantum computers with thousands of qubits and with error-corrected qubits. Yeah, so we don't have this problem. We will not have the problem of errors with fault-tolerant quantum computers.
So basically, it's more like, you know, we need to increase the qubits. Qubits can be, let's say, the number of you can in classical computing, it's basically the number of bits you add on to the system, and definitely calculations will cause some quantum errors. Quantum errors again can be, you know, leaving the quantum state or something like that.
Yeah, so I think the main challenge now in quantum computing is error correction. So this is the main problem, and I hope that the researchers will solve that problem in order to quantum computing to be useful.
Yeah. Got it. So recently I came across, like, there was a defense expo in India, and recently I came across a company who claims that, you know, they have implemented quantum secure internet. So, like, you know, what they said is the algorithm that they have implemented is cannot be broken by quantum computers. So are there any algorithms out there?
I think you are talking about post-quantum cryptography, which is not quantum, but it's still classical cryptography. And post-quantum cryptography is still based on hard mathematical problems, which is hard to compute. And these algorithms are believed to be resistant against quantum computers. And recently, NIST will start standardization process of post-quantum algorithms and pick up final post-quantum algorithm to be deployed in our systems. Yeah.
So it's basically, it's still classical, but the way you are writing it down, it's very difficult for the quantum algorithm to factorize it and break it down. Is that how it is?
So it's still classical and based on hard mathematical problems, but we don't know how to crack these crypto systems, even using a quantum computer. There are many problems that are too hard even for quantum computers, like learning with errors and lattices and many things. But this is not quantum cryptography. Some people make confusion between the two fields. And this is purely classical, but resistant against quantum attacks, but it's not quantum cryptography. It's post-quantum cryptography.
Got it. So now it's a very naive question, totally different thing. So recently, once there was pandemic, there was a huge boom and a huge talks about cryptocurrencies. Does it has to deal like what exactly cryptocurrencies are? So is there any cryptography algorithm that runs onto the back end? That's why it's the crypto terms comes in.
Yeah, so I guess cryptocurrencies of course use some cryptographic schemes, like for example they use elliptic curve signature scheme and the SHA and many other things. Quantum computing would be a potential threat for cryptocurrencies if they still based on these classical encryption schemes, which are vulnerable against fault-tolerant quantum computers. Let's give an example of elliptic curve digital signature, which is used by cryptocurrencies nowadays. And this cryptographic scheme is vulnerable against quantum attacks. So maybe if we integrate quantum-safe encryption mechanisms in cryptocurrencies, in that case, cryptocurrencies will be safe against quantum attacks.
Got it. So, for example, now the creator of Bitcoin, no one knows that whether the person exists or not, because we are talking about, let's say, 20, 30 years down the line, where we have quantum computers very powerful enough, and there is no one onto the back end to, you know, implement those post-quantum techniques. So pretty much Bitcoin, rather than waiting for 100 years, it will take very, you know, in fraction of minutes or hours or days, the whole Bitcoin mining will complete. Is that what you mean by that?
I mean, the security of cryptocurrencies in general, so would be threatened by the existence of large-scale quantum computers, since it's based on cryptographic schemes that are not secure against quantum attacks. But if we change these cryptographic schemes to quantum-safe encryption schemes, yeah, so cryptocurrencies will be secure against quantum attacks. This is what I mean exactly. Today's cryptocurrencies maybe employs cryptographic schemes, classical cryptographic schemes that are not quantum safe. But if we integrate quantum safe encryption in cryptocurrencies, this issue will be solved.
Got it. So pretty much right now we're talking about post-quantum. So is there any quantum algorithm, like, you know, that runs onto a quantum machine, and it's not a classical thing, but it can make everything secure? So are there, because you working as a quantum, you know, computing researcher in quantum cryptography, are there any research or any algorithm that's out there that is being implemented?
So there are many protocols in quantum cryptography, and the most successful area of quantum cryptography is quantum key distribution, where it has been established that perfectly secure communication is possible by using quantum communication. In quantum key distribution, like, keys are made of photons, for example, and quantum key distribution is already implemented in real life and demonstrated, and it's perfectly secure. Of course, we have some hardware problems. And also we have other cryptographic schemes like quantum homomorphic encryption, blind quantum computing, and there are some few experimental implementations of these schemes in real life. Yeah.
Got it. So, what is your role as a researcher? That pretty much these. So you are making these. Are you cracking these algorithms? You're, you know, implementing it down.
For me, I mostly recently I got interested in theoretical research in cryptography, quantum cryptography. I'm doing research in quantum cryptography beyond quantum key distribution, because maybe the most popular topic in quantum cryptography is quantum key distribution. Even I talked with some people and they thought that quantum cryptography is only quantum key distribution. Also 3 years ago, I did a project on quantum key distribution when I was a student, and I thought, okay, this is quantum cryptography. There is not many things to be discovered. But now, there are many, many things beyond quantum key distribution, like quantum homomorphic encryption, blind quantum computing, many, many topics, quantum obfuscation. So let's say we are trying to reinvent the classical cryptographic schemes in the quantum setting. And for me, I'm interested in theory, definitions, proofs, techniques, and I'm not a hardware person, and other people are working on real world implementation in hardware. Yeah. But me, I'm working on the computer science aspects of quantum cryptography.
Got it. So let's say if you want to explain a layman, or what exactly is quantum key distribution in simple terms?
In quantum key distribution, okay, so in cryptography, we have, let's say, sender and receiver, and we have an encryption key. So we use this encryption key in order, plus an encryption algorithm in order to encrypt the data. So in quantum key distribution, we will distribute these keys using quantum communication channel, these encryption keys. And these encryption keys are made of photons. So,
These are made of photons.
For qubits, or, for example, photons. Yeah.
Photons, okay.
Like you encode your data inside your keys inside these photons, and you send them in a quantum communication channel. And in real life, that could be with satellites or fiber optics. So,
okay. So, if I have to rephrase what you exactly said, you can point it out. It may be 100% wrong. So, it's basically like very similar to how classical communication works. But what you're trying to do is you have a lot of keys that you spread it across, and based on how these algorithms work, it is very difficult to refactor all the keys. And that is what it makes it secure. So like, for example, for RSA, we have two keys. For this, we have a lot of them. Is that how it is?
So quantum cryptography in general is secure by the laws of quantum mechanics. So classical cryptography is secure by our belief that these mathematical problems are hard enough for computer. But quantum cryptography is based on quantum physics properties, and that can offer information theoretical security. That means that the system is secure even against adversaries with a limited computational power. And in quantum key distribution, we have the quantum device and in the sender and the receiver part, and we will send our messages, our encryption keys through these quantum communication channels. And it's secure, let's say, by the laws of quantum mechanics. For example, we have we cannot copy quantum information due to the non-cloning theorem. For example, imagine the scenario that we have Alice and Bob, sender and receiver, and Alice wants to send an information to Bob, but we have Eve, which is a hacker, malicious third party, and this hacker cannot copy the information, for example. Yeah, because of the nature of quantum information. In classical setting, yeah, we can, the third party can copy the information and then crack it on computer later. But in quantum information, we cannot copy. And there are many, many other things like superposition and entanglement. And yeah, and there's some protocols developed in quantum key distribution that can guarantee security. Yeah.
Okay, so another naive question. So is it more like, I'm just trying to relate with how classical communication works. It's just like, you know, you send a WhatsApp text message, or you send a LinkedIn hi, and then it goes through the, you have electromagnetic waves that travel through, different satellites and different, cell towers, and then the whole it goes to the database, and then there are, you have TCP and various other protocols that are happening. Is there ways, like you were talking about, quantum communication, quantum channels over which the communication will take place. So so these channels, again, have to be in the quantum space. It can be like you were talking about superposition or entanglement. So how will this communication take place? Because attaining, right now, what I know is that, being in a quantum state is really tough. Even the IBM quantum stays for, let's say, fraction of seconds, and then pretty much loses its quantum state because of the vibrations and the temperature difference and all those things. So how this communication will take place?
Yeah, actually, photon loss is one of the main challenges in real world implementations of quantum communication in general. And that's why we have distance limitation. But that would be possible through quantum communication channels, through fiber optics or free space. So we use some quantum devices, and there is quantum communication channel between the sender and the receiver, and we can send the photons, and we encode our data inside these photons, and these photons are polarized. For example, if you have one, you can polarize this photon. They have this polarization. If I have zero, you have this polarization. Yeah, this is just random thing. Just an example to explain. You have the data and you code it into qubits, and then you send it through quantum communication channel. Yeah.
Got it. So pretty much, are there any real world implementations of it yet, or we are still into the research stage as of now?
I think there are some implementation that connect some research labs between each other. So it's not, let's say, implemented in large scale in So like for quantum internet is implemented between some research labs for very short distance. Yeah. Got it's it. In the research, I guess. Yeah. It's the.
So let's say if I want to get started in quantum, so is there any tech stack that you're following, which, you know, I can look onto or, you know, get started with for anyone new to quantum?
Okay, so for someone who is new to quantum computing, the first thing to start with is to learn the basics. There are many, many online resources. And then learn or being involved in some activities and some research projects, getting internships. And there are many nonprofit organizations that give, let's say, mentorship and supervision for research projects like Keyword and the Quantum Open Source Foundation. So many students can participate in that programs, and that really help. Also participation in workshops, hackathons. Yeah, so for beginners, that would be very useful to do these kind of things. Start learning also. It depends on the background of the person. But we need some background in linear algebra, bit of background in quantum mechanics and computer science, of course. Yeah. And then you can pick up a topic and do research in some specific topic, because it's a huge field and very interdisciplinary. There are many, many things to do. Some people have background in chemistry, in engineering, computer science, and many, many things, physics. So it depends which field you will do research in afterwards.
Got it. What keeps you going, Mohammed? Is it like, I'll let you answer that. Yeah. I don't want to give directions. Yeah.
I'm really very passionate about this topic, and I'm excited to do research in quantum, especially in theoretical quantum cryptography, which is my niche research interest. This is actually my motivation. Like I'd like to do research, and, since I was young, my dream is to become a scientist. And the quantum computing is my field. I mean, my passion.
No, because the reason I asked this question is because being as a tech guy or being deployed or, you know, deploying solutions, pretty much, you know, there is a sense of achievement once you complete the project. But once you're researching, you don't know whether that research will be actually, you know, fruitful in the end, or whether you will get those positive results out in the end that you were expecting it to work. So that was the main motive behind that.
Yeah. And it's really excited to contribute to this field that will
go on
change
to
the world.
A rapid fire round.
And yeah.
And okay. It's just a small rapid fire. It'll be 3-4 questions. Pretty much you can answer them. Asking you, you have to answer them, or you can also defer them and a kind of reasoning in the end.
Pretty much you can
answer
them.
So pretty much you'll be very
answer them,
simple for you.
You can also
defer
quantum
them,
or AI,
a kind of reasoning in the end. Likewise,
which one would you choose?
Pretty much will be
absolutely quantum.
Simple for you.
Quantum,
quantum, or AI. No doubt about that. I don't even want to know why is that. So next question is Python or C++?
Python. Because in quantum computing, we use Python a lot. So
next question is Python or C++? Isn't the backend written in
C++? Python, because in quantum computing, we use
Python. Isn't the backend written in
C++?
But isn't the backend written in C++? Half few modules are written in the backend.
Isn't the backend written in
C++ or C?
Yeah, also some quantum programming languages are written with C++. And I believe C++ maybe is more powerful.
Than
Python, but for me,
I
would like to use Python.
C++
I'm more comfortable
is
with
more powerful.
But C++ is more Python, but for me, I would like to use Python.
So,
I'm more comfortable with
my next question to you is,
but
you being the researcher, do you like speed or do you like perfection? Speed in the sense, my next question to you is, you being the researcher, do you like speed or perfection?
Then
I'll go a bit more perfection. Speed in the sense...
perfection doing something outstanding
many tasks in short amount of time
without limitation in time. Perfection doing something outstanding.
Okay, so for me, speed was, you know, trying out new experiments.
Limitation in
like,
time.
You know, let's say this is not work. Let's try this.
For me, speed was, you know, trying out different experiments.
But you pretty much get an idea of it.
Let's try this.
This is something that we can explore more in.
It cannot be perfectly executed.
And perfection is, you know, you take one and, you know,
gets an idea of
it all and say, okay, this cannot be done.
This is how it has to be done.
And perfection is, you know, you take one and
you do something.
Give it perfect. All and say,
nothing
okay,
is perfect, but
done,
if you do something perfect, that it would be great.
Yeah.
If
so
you do many things,
you do something
with speed,
perfect.
And
nothing is perfect.
With bad
but
quality,
if you do something perfect,
yeah, that would be would
very
be
bad.
Great. If you do many things with speed and
so,
with bad
are
quality,
you hands on?
Yeah, that would be so, very bad.
yeah. You do code. So
yeah,
are
of
you hands on?
Yeah. Indeed.
So,
love coding, especially while studying. Even now,
yeah,
I like
course,
to,
yeah.
I like to do research and theory and also especially I was studying things. So yeah. Even now, yeah, I like to.
So,
I like to do research and theory
like,
and
what
also
do you implement it
implement
on? So it's pretty much Python because
things,
you're using
so
Python.
Yeah.
So any libraries or frameworks that you use?
What do you implement
yeah.
it
so
on?
So before I used Qiskit, which is software
so,
development kit.
Any frameworks that you use?
Yeah, so
we can,
let's say, program quantum computer
is
using Qiskit. Also, I use Simulacron, which is a
quantum internet simulator developed by
T-Tech. Program quantum computer is using Qiskit.
But now, mostly,
also
I use
Simulacron, which is
to simulate some
quantum internet simulator developed
schemes.
By Q-Tech.
Yeah.
So
have you used TensorFlow Quantum?
Yeah, I use Qiskit to simulate some cryptographic schemes.
I used once,
but
I'm not really expert with
TensorFlow Quantum.
I only explored
I
once, yeah.
once, but
okay.
I'm not really expert with that.
No, the reason
Quantum.
I asked is because
I only
reached out
once,
to the founder of TensorFlow Quantum for this podcast.
yeah.
No, the reason I asked is
so
because
he's yet
to reply, so
I'll reach out
to
the
founder of TensorFlow Quantum.
If he comes, it would be really nice, but
the reason for me before I was interested in many topics in quantum, including quantum machine learning. But now I guess I know what topic I'm interested in. So
in many topics in quantum,
like
quantum
machine
learning
is not my primary research interest. So
what topic I'm interested?
That's why. So I'm not going to use
like
TensorFlow Quantum or any other
research
quantum machine learning framework too much. I'm not expert in this topic. I'm not going to use. TensorFlow Quantum or any other quantum machine learning framework too much. I'm not expert in this topic.
So tell me about Qtunisia, like what exactly it is.
So Qtunisia is a community, non-profit community affiliated to Keyword, which is an international, say, non-profit organization that gathers researchers, developers, and many also business people in one place. So Qtunisia aims to, let's say, popularize quantum computing in Tunisia. So basically organize workshops, talks, and in order to encourage people to be involved in quantum computing and to raise awareness about this field.
Got it. So it's basically pretty much like, you know, you're building a community out of it. And
yeah.
A lot of the more people come into, the more faster the tech grows. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So
just
encourage,
just to encourage people. I mean, to learn quantum and to support them. So,
thank you so much, Mohammed, for joining in. Pretty much, it was really I learned a lot of new things about quantum, about post quantum. About the quantum algorithms that are right now being in the research phase between the laboratories testing it out. And you know, thank you so much for your time. And I hope even the listeners listening definitely learned something from this podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Awesome.